All right, we are going to get to baptizing today. I wanted to talk a little bit about, because we kind of did communion and baptism on the same day, which was intentional. We had the opportunity to kind of do that. I wanted to talk for really just a few minutes about traditions or it's funny, I looked up church traditions. You just Google like church traditions and everything's negative. Everything's like, the church shouldn't have traditions. Traditions are like, they take the power out of the, and I understand that conceptually, that's fine. That's true. I agree. A tradition in the, just the definition of the word is just something that you do that's passed down, something you believe that's passed down. So, while they're not, while these are what we're doing in communion and what we do in baptism, they actually are traditions. But it's so important. And the point of what all those pastors online are trying to say is that it's so important that we realize that they're more than a tradition. That they're not only a tradition; they're not just a tradition. It doesn't make them not a tradition. But it's so important that the power is not in the fact that we just do it every once in a while. The power is actually, the power is not in the fact that it's a tradition. The power is actually in the death and resurrection of Jesus. The power is in the alignment with and the obedience with and the revelation that we see. I talked about baptism a lot. I'm going to refresh on some of it this morning, but it's going to go kind of quick. And I'd encourage you to get that and get the listen to the podcast and stuff. But I want to talk about kind of the importance of remembering that they're not just traditions, because we actually have a lot of traditions. Our Christmas morning is a tradition. We do a family Christmas where we have a style, we have a thing we do, we kind of change the decorations a little bit. And it actually was to, with in mind of something that came out of kind of my mind and heart as far as my childhood goes, and remembering specifically on Christmas, when Christmas fell on a Sunday morning, remembering how much I didn't want to go to church as a kid and just wanting to stay home and play with my toys or do whatever Christmas morning is like. And so realizing that once I was a senior leader, I actually got to do whatever I wanted to do. And so we have Christmas, one of our, I think our first Christmas morning here, it was Christmas was on a Sunday, and I found myself not wanting to go to church. And not that morning, but I mean, you know, like, oh man, it's going. So it's like, well, let's change church, and let's just bring Christmas morning. Let's just bring family Christmas morning to church. And so that's what we ended up doing, and we created kind of a tradition where we do presents and we do, you know, we just celebrate the kids, and of course it's all circled around, you know, Jesus' birthday, and so we read the Christmas story of his birth. And we just, you know, focus on the kids. And it's a little bit shorter, and we bring food, and, you know, we do the whole thing. So it's a lot of fun. And so we do have traditions, but it's so important to remember that baptism and then what we just did in communion, though they are traditions that we do, they're so much more than that. And there's a story that... I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it, but it's a pretty famous story. It's in John 21. Because I want to talk about the power of aligning yourself with God, the power of alignment. Because what we do when we do communion is we're following some instructions that were given to us. I read out of 1 Corinthians. We're following instructions. When we do a baptism, when we baptize someone, we're following instructions written down in Scripture. That there wasn't very many instructions, like literal instructions that Jesus gave us, but there is some, and especially in action, there is some. And so these are ones we're actually literally aligning ourselves with some instructions that God gave us, and there's a lot of power in that. And along the lines of, it's not just a tradition that we're doing, and it's important that we don't fall into like, oh, we do it because we do it. or we're supposed to, even though those are true. So this story in John 21, it basically is a story of after Jesus had died on the cross and was raised, he came to visit the disciples multiple times. And this is actually the third time he comes to the disciples, and he appears to them. They don't know. They're kind of in the limbo between resurrection and Pentecost. The resurrection day, and they find out that Jesus really is back. And then there's this time of 50 days before the Holy Spirit shows up. So there's basically a month and a half where they're kind of like, we don't really know what to do. We don't necessarily feel equipped to change the world because the Holy Spirit hasn't shown up. But we don't really have Jesus anymore. He's like part-time here now. He shows up and comes and goes as he wants. And so there's this transition period is just, they're kind of hanging out. And so during this time, they're like, hey, let's go fishing. That's what we did before. We don't know what to do now. Let's go back to what we did before. So they go fishing. And they're out fishing all night. They don't catch anything. Early in the morning, it says that they're only about, I think, 100 or so yards off the shore. And someone from the shore yells out and says, hey, throw your nets on the other side. You remember the story? And they're like, okay. And so they throw the nets on the other side. They catch all these fish. And then John actually says, that's Jesus. And so Peter's like, Jesus! And he grabs his clothes and jumps out of the boat and swims ashore. And there's Jesus. And so Jesus invites him. He's got breakfast there. And he gives him some fish. And they have breakfast on the beach. And it's an amazing story. It's actually, I love the story. There's so much in there to unpack. I've preached on it multiple times. But what I want to focus on just really quickly is the alignment part. And in this story, it's not necessarily that it's accidental, because it was intentional. They did actually intentionally have to do something. But they actually didn't realize that it was Jesus until after they did something. They didn't realize that they were aligning with him even until after, but there was still power in the alignment. I want to propose to you that the fishing wasn't better on the other side of the boat. Like, these guys knew what they were doing, and they're probably going back and forth all night. I don't know, either side of the boat. But I just want to propose that the fishing actually wasn't better on the other side of the boat. It wasn't like, oh, we're just, we've been 12 feet off this whole day. That's what we did wrong. And so that it was actually a miracle that those fish weren't there all night. And then when Jesus showed up, his words saying, hey, however Jesus does it, we don't know whether the fish just all, he was like, hey, fish, show up on the left side at this time. And they're like, oh, what are we doing? Oh, we're in the net. I don't know. I don't know what happens, how he does it, or whether they just materialized out of nowhere. And there they are. There's fish there now. But we know that they weren't there before. But the fishing got better. Like, literally, the fishing got better. They weren't figurative fish. They were actual fish. The scripture says 153 fish they caught, and the nets didn't break. So they were actual fish that the fishermen caught. And how many of you guys know that this wasn't a lesson on fishing? They didn't need a lesson on fishing. They were fishermen, most of them. There's a lot of lessons in there, so I'm not going to say this was the lesson. But what we're going to pull out of it is that there's a lesson in here about alignment. That there's a difference between, how many of you guys know you can go over and jump in the tank, baptize yourself, and jump out, and you've done everything that we're going to do? How many of you guys know you can get a little glass of grape juice, it has to be extra small, get a little piece of bread, just enough to make you want bread, and you can eat those things. And you didn't do anything. Right? You can eat them all night long, just like fishing, all night long. You can do all kinds of ceremonies and traditions, and But the power is actually in what you align with. The power is in the alignment. The fish weren't in the skilled fishing. It wasn't like a tip. Jesus wasn't giving him a tip on fishing. He's like, it's not the right side. It's actually the left side. All these years we didn't know it was the left side of the boat. It wasn't a fishing tip. It was an opportunity for alignment. Now, in this situation, I know it's different because they didn't even know it was Jesus. So in my one of the questions I've always asked, and I can't wait to ask them when we're there in heaven and going, what were you thinking? Because I'm not sure I would have done that. Like some guy yells from the shore, try the other side of the boat. You're like, mind your own business. You know, but they didn't. They did it. And there it was. And then Jesus and the whole story happens. But the point is that there's a power in alignment. And I want us to just grab a hold of the idea that what we're doing today, both in the baptism, both in communion together, but also in participating in watching, in the celebration of it. Because I can tell you, we talked about this last week, that you can't, that baptism isn't supposed to be something you do alone. In fact, I would challenge you that if you got baptized by yourself, you haven't been baptized. Because a huge part of baptism is actually a public declaration. Well, you can't make a public declaration without public. Guess what? You and God already know what's going on. That's the point. So to get baptized before God, you're not getting baptized. You are getting baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But you're actually getting baptized before men, before public. We talked about last week in the scripture where Jesus gets baptized. God shows up, but God shows up not to talk to Jesus. God actually shows up to talk to the public. He says, this is my son. He doesn't say, hey, son. He says, this is my son, whom I love and whom I'm well pleased. Who's he talking to? Not Jesus. Why? Because Jesus already knew who he was. He wasn't getting baptized to become who he was. He was getting baptized because he was who he was. See, we're not getting baptized today. We're not baptizing people to forgive their sins. We're baptizing them because their sins are forgiven. It's not a magic water. It's not a magic tank. It's actually the amazing thing happened over 2,000 years ago on the cross. It's actually the blood, the death, and the resurrection becomes alive in the tank. And it's the alignment that makes a fiberglass tank full of water powerful. It's the alignment that brings the fish when you haven't been fishing all night. It's the alignment that makes the little grape juice and the little piece of bread powerful in the remembrance and the thankfulness and the forgiveness. It's the alignment. Are you guys with me? Are you there? Oh, good. It's funny when you align with God, in alignment with God, you can expect things to change even though you've done the same thing over and over and over. Like what we see in the story is that they've been fishing all night, right? They're throwing out the nets all night long. And basically Jesus says, do the same thing you've been doing, just do it again. A little bit different. It's the same water. And all of a sudden, because there's a word, because there's an instruction, and because there's an opportunity for alignment, God shows up. There's a powerful thing that happens. And that sometimes pursuing and walking with the Lord is expecting things to change even though you're doing the same thing over and over and over. You guys know what that sounds like. You know the definition of insanity? Yeah. It's doing the same thing and expecting something different. Yeah. It's why it feels a little bit insane. to follow Jesus sometimes. Right? What did he say? Hey, guess what? If you're coming with me, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. That's insane. Yeah, you better get used to it. That's what it's going to feel like. Oftentimes. Just pick all the net up. Do the same thing you've been doing, just on the other side of the boat. Fish. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to put a tank of water inside the church. And then I want you to fill it with water. And then just push people under it and bring them up again. That's a little bit insane. I know, but it's aligning. I want you to drink a little cup of grape juice and eat a little bit of bread on a pretty regular basis. That's weird. I know, but it's alignment. And because it's alignment, it's powerful. Because of, not because of what we're doing, but because of what we're aligning with. We're aligning with the death and the resurrection of the Son of God, who died a perfect, who left a perfect life, who died and left a perfectly lived life, took our sins upon himself, delivered them to hell for us, dropped them off, and came back. Thank you, Jesus. And that's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating when we get in that tank and we go under the water. We're celebrating that death. And thank God that we don't just celebrate death, because then we'd have to stay under the water. But we actually are also, maybe even more importantly, celebrating. Of course, you can't have life without death. So, but the death and the resurrection. It's an amazing opportunity for alignment. And when you're walking in pursuit of this relationship with God, there's power in alignment, even when it feels a little bit crazy, a little bit off, a little bit weird. Are you still with me? I think I'm ready. Dunk some people. So here's what we're gonna do. I've actually never done this in a service. We've almost always had kind of a specific service. We've done it at the River, of course. Things like that. But so we're gonna do this. We're just gonna kind of wing it. But what I want everybody to do, obviously, I have to take my microphone off. We'll have a microphone a little bit, but we don't want to risk dropping it into the water. And so we're going to be careful. But what we want to do is we're going to, if you need to move, obviously, this kind of side, we can move over a little bit. And we don't necessarily need to move chairs. We can all stand around. And there's a couple things I would request. Number one, if you want to get baptized, whether you came here thinking that you wanted to, or whether you've just decided right now, or you're feeling, you know, until I get out of the tank, you're available, and even maybe for a little while after, I'll get back in. But during this time, if you feel, I just encourage you, if you feel the Lord tugging on your heart, like, here's the thing, even if it's a guy on the beach that you don't know is Jesus yet, even if it's like, well, I don't know, I kind of feel like I'm, was that Jesus? I would challenge you to and say that it doesn't matter. You might find out that it was Jesus when you drag the nets over to the other side and throw them in and all the fish come up. You might find out it was just a crazy guy on the beach. But I propose to you that it's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit pulling on you. There's an opportunity to align. We know that baptism is something he's called us to. So we know that. And so if Fenton brought towels, and if we need to multiply them, we'll multiply them. Either in the natural or in the physical. But yeah, don't not get baptized because you don't have a towel. I'll say that. And you can always jump in your car and go home and change your clothes if you need to do that. So that's one thing, an invitation. And then the second thing is that we started this a while ago. I think probably the first time I heard it was at Bethel, and I thought, man, that's awesome. Is we want for the first thing that people hear in when they come out of the water, is their family cheering for them and welcoming them into, you know, the representation of this new life? What we'd ask you guys is, it'll be obvious when they kind of go down, but when they come up, just celebrate them. Celebrate their decision. It's almost like we're inviting you in to do your part. Your part is public. Be the public and welcome. And just welcome them in and cheer. So you guys can do that. It's a big part. It's important, I know. But you guys can handle it. And that's it. So if you need to move, and then for those of you getting baptized, please be careful coming down the steps. Go really slow. There's a little bit of traction on there, but it can be slippery. And I think that's all I need to do. Dave is going to be doing something, I think. And Shelly's going to be kind of at the bottom of the stairs greeting you, welcoming you in. And we're just going to go for it. So if you guys, you don't have to move, but if you want to move, then you can move. You can stand. You can sit. You can do whatever you want to do. If you are getting baptized, just kind of line up at the bottom of the stairs there. I'll jump in first, and we'll get this done. We can play some music in the background, and just go for it.
were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism unto death. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Woo! What an honor and a privilege to celebrate together as family, new life in Mountain Chapel, all these young people coming into the fullness of the gospel. Let's just take a moment and thank God. Father, we do. We thank you for this honor and this privilege to enter into the fullness of knowing you. We thank you for all the provision that's ours through the inheritance that was bought and paid for on the cross. And we commit to walk in the fullness. We covenant with you again and say, yes, God, yes. Bless this time of fellowship, Lord. Let us celebrate together in the glory and the joy of heaven today as we take a meal together in the holy, holy name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so we're going to put Denise, is she? I think we're doing buffet style. Oh, Denise? We're going to have food out for a potluck celebration. So stick around and eat.
Heart. tell you tonight, I really love, oh how I love you. Presence is great. I will sing.